This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
We have a lot lined up for you today. We're going to talk about being in a family-owned business and what that means at Christmas. We'll also be speaking to Rabiani, perhaps about the place where you can get a burger for Christmas Day. I don't know, from the Grosvenor Hotel. Lots to get through. It's getting festive in here. We are talking cravings. It's almost 6 minutes past one. Good afternoon. It's nice to be back. I've been away for a couple of weeks, and Tad, you've done a wonderful job in my absence.
Oh, thank you.
I almost thought I was going to come back and find my chair was the name on the back of my chair was going to be gone.
Never happened.
Are you well? You're looking forward to a white Christmas?
I am looking forward to a white Christmas in a few more days, and I'll be on a plane.
Excellent. Yep. We are actually exploring Christmas in a little way today.
We are.
Our first guest is certainly joining us for the first little while in the program. He's come suitably attired as well. His name is Fabio Catafi.
Hello.
If you've been into Lygon Street and had a look at... There's a couple of old terrace buildings that have been there for a very long time, and one of them is La Spaghettata. And Fabio, your family have owned La Spaghettata for 36 years.
Yeah, 36 years, that's right. Yeah.
Well, welcome to the program, first of all.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
The challenge of being in a family-owned business could be sometimes considered too much of a cross to bear. Talk to us how it's all come about, and was there an expectation that you would work in the business? Or
I've always worked there since I was like 13 years old, because I danced professionally for 25 years. So while I was dancing, I used to work at the restaurant and wash dishes and do colada and do the bar and just sort of
make
work my way
bread.
Up. Make the garlic bread, actually butter the garlic bread whilst doing the splits on the cool room wall and dancing around and getting in trouble all the time. My dad would walk in the kitchen going, "You're supposed to be working. You're not supposed to be dancing," but I'd be practicing all my routines that I would learn, you know, had learned the day before. But so I didn't really expect to be where I am, to be honest. I was just going along doing my thing, and then about five years ago, I got involved full time with the restaurant, and I kind of do it now. I've been doing it for 5 years full time and running the restaurant with my brother because mum and dad are retired.
Do you still dance?
I dance around the restaurant, yeah.
Excellent.
I dance around the restaurant and entertain the staff.
You don't dance professionally?
Sorry?
You don't dance professionally?
Not anymore, no. I did that for 25 years, so now it's a different time of my life. Yeah.
What made you stop?
I was dancing, and then I also studied fashion design, so I knew how to sew, so I started making children's clothing and just designing it and selling it at the markets, and it was just a hobby basically. And then I decided to take it seriously, and then it sort of became a big business. I was working 70 hours a week, so I thought I will do my kids' clothing and then I'll go back to my dancing when it all settles down. But of course it just got bigger and bigger, and I didn't get a chance to go back to my dancing, so then that's sort of why I left it, to be honest. So it was kind of just a
traditional sort of, I don't want to say traditional or normal, but a traditional migrant story.
Yes.
Italian migrants, post-war, your parents came out here. How did they cope with having a flamboyant young son?
I just think they were used to it, because I was sort of always that way inclined. You're always from I was always crazy and madness and having a good old time. So I think they were kind of used to it, really. Mm. And it was kind of fun for them. It sort of entertained them, I guess.
And was there a challenge? Did you come out to them? Or was
I did come out to my my mum, and she was like, "Don't tell your father." And I was like, "Okay, mum." And then I did tell my father, and then he had trouble with it at the beginning.
Did he?
He did, yeah. He did had lots of trouble with it. He didn't understand it, and he had a lot of trouble with it. It was just, I think, the proud Italian father sort of, what will people think and all of that stuff. Mm. But after he came to terms with it and everything, like, he's amazing now. So he's actually a really amazing support for me now. He's always the first one there. If I've got something going on, my dad is always the first one there. And so our relationship has become really amazing and full circle. Mm. And it's great to add business as well. He's a good mentor for business and everything.
As a kid, did you want to work in the restaurant?
Did I want to work in I think it was just... I guess so. It was just good, like, extra money, and because I was dancing. So when I was dancing, it was kind of like, it's just extra money. So if I was away dancing and then I would come back and I didn't have any work, I would just slip into the restaurant and do some work. And then I'd be like, oh, Mum, I've got to go to Hong Kong for 2 weeks. Yep. I'll be back later. So it was good to have that basis. As I worked for someone else, I'd be like, well, you can't really go anywhere.
Yeah.
But I got to come and go all the time. So I got to do what I love with my dancing and still have the family business to fall back on all the time. So, and now, it's sort of what I do all the time now.
All the time.
Like 60 hours a week, whatever it is.
I just want to go back to when you were dancing. What were you doing? Who were you working for? How did you...
When I was dancing?
How did you earn money? Yeah.
When I was dancing? Mm. Yeah, I worked for Disney when I was young, doing all the pantomimes, and I worked for the Australian Opera, Channel 9, and we used to do IMT every week, and the Logies in Melbourne tonight.
Yeah.
Today, tonight, Melbourne tonight. So we used to do that every week.
So were you part of a troupe? Were you part of a group or... you were Tony Bartuccio dancing?
I went to Tony Bartuccio. Yeah, I went there. I studied there, from 11 to 14, and then I did full-time there. So I worked for Tony, We used to do the footy show every year. Yeah. So it was all different groups because every job would be different. You'd be dancing with different people.
I think that every second gay kid in Melbourne would recognise Tony Bartuccio dancers from the 80s and the 90s.
The best school in the world. That was the best time of my life at Tony Bartuccio because it was the 80s and everything was... They'd be dancing to Michael Jackson on Bad and Whitney Houston I Want to Dance with Somebody. Tina Turner. It was amazing. So, it was a good time. So for the Australian Opera, Channel 9, we used to do the Logies, Hey Hey It's That Day, all of those fabulous shows back then. So it was a really good time.
To join Joey Peroni or young Tina?
No,
Tina Arena on Young Talent Time?
No, but I did dance with Tina Arena. We did I'm in Chains for a charity event, and that was awesome.
Mm.
That was awesome. But yeah, I should have done Young Talent Time. Yeah, that could have been
sing,
fun. Not really, no.
My partner was on Young Talent Time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Wow.
Doing magic, yeah.
Get out. That's awesome.
He came second, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Why do I not know this before now?
I don't know.
I loved Young Talent Time as a kid.
Yeah, that was so much fun.
Yeah, I was madly into it.
So much fun. Mm. Oh, wow, that's cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
And you still do it now?
Does Richard still do magic?
Oh, no.
Or is that just for you two for special?
Yeah.
I'm with a top hat for a bit of special.
Exciting.
Linda, if you're listening, I hope we're not offending you. It is almost 13 minutes past when you are here on Cravings on Joy 94.9. Fabio Catafi is our guest from La Spaghettata in Lygon Street in North Melbourne. Sorry, in Carlton. I want to come back and talk about that the restaurant because it has endured for a very long time.
It has been a long time.
All of those sorts of things. But first of all, we'll take a quick little sojourn into some community service announcements. You are on Cravings. It's almost 13 minutes past one.
Bonjour, I am Gabriel Gatte. You are listening to Cravings with Peter Dillon on Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
We need to get one of those done in Italian. I should have got Massimo Bottura to do one.
Yeah, that would be great.
Get Fabio to come in and do some in Italian.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'll get Sophia Loren to come in. She might want to come in and do one.
You're on. She's still alive?
Yeah. Living in Geneva.
She's about 116, isn't she?
83.
Geneva or Genoa?
Genoa.
Geneva, Switzerland.
Not Genoa, Italy.
Italy, right?
No, Geneva. Okay. Sorry.
Fabio Catafi is the voice you can hear along with Tad Lombardo. We are today the Three Musketeers. We're talking about family businesses and restaurants. And Fabio, I said at the top of the show, your family owned the restaurant for 36 years.
Yeah.
So you've grown up in it. What are some of the pressures that exist in a family business that may not exist if you're going to work as you when you're dancing for somebody else?
Well, I guess there's a responsibility for your reputation, so you're always very aware of that. So, you know, you're always wanting to make people happy, and you can't just be like, oh, whatever happens, happens. You really have to make sure that every customer that comes in is happy and leaves happy. So that's probably a responsibility and a pressure, I think.
But what about if there's disagreements, like with you and your brother? And obviously, you're not going to let it show on the outside, and the guests wouldn't see that. But how do you deal with that sort of potential conflict?
Oh, we scream and yell sometimes.
Okay.
That happens in every family when there's no restaurants involved.
Yeah. Well, at the beginning, it was hard because my brother had been doing it for such a long time, and then I came in. And so that was a little bit difficult. But now we've just learned each other's personalities and we work around each other. So with my brother, he knows what he's doing. So I just respect that. And he does his side and I do my side.
Your strength,
his sometimes strength. When he gets involved, I'm like, I'm doing what I'm doing. So just do what you're doing and we'll leave it at that. But I've just learned to let it go.
How have you divided those things? So what do you specifically take care of? What does he specifically take care of so that there is no conflict that can arise?
Well, my brother does all the rostering and all the ordering and all the financials, which bores me to tears.
Yes.
And I do all the sort of creative stuff. So I'm kind of good with people. So I'll, you know, do all the, you know, chat to the customers, and I do the Instagram, and I do Facebook, and I do newsletters, and I do all the interior design. Or
I was going to say, you put up all the Christmas decorations.
Yeah, all of that. I design all that, and, you know, if there's any advertising to do, I'll organise that, the website. Basically, I'm a very visual and creative person, so I do all that.
Whereas he's probably more analytical and numbers.
He's very analytical, which is a really amazing balance.
It's a great balance.
It's a perfect, it's really good yin and yang, because I'm all like, woo, and he's like, no, you can't do that. So it works really actually perfectly. And so we've learned to get along really, really well.
Yeah. Is he married?
He's got a girlfriend.
Right. Does she chime in at all? Or?
She used to work at the restaurant. Yeah.
Okay.
For a while she worked. Yeah. Oh. So, yeah. But we've learned, you know, you've got
another
to
layer of complexity, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And what about your parents? I mean, obviously, from their point of view, they've been doing it for 36 years.
36 years,
and
yeah.
And to hand that over, do they still try to have a bit of influence with what they feel should be? Or?
Not really, because my dad sort of, as he always says, if, you know, he wouldn't have left it to us if he didn't think we would do a great job. So he thinks that we are doing a great job. Mm-hmm.
And he still comes in every Saturday.
He comes every Saturday night from about 5 to about 11, and he'll go in and, you know, still he's the boss, and everyone sees when my dad comes in, everyone's like, oh, Tony's coming.
Right.
So they're all a little bit more on guard when my dad comes in. But, you know, from him working, you know, 60, 70 hours a week and doing it for 36 years, he was happy to let it go.
But still likes to come back and get that little bit of...
Yeah, he always, like, you know, every time we catch up, how's the restaurant and what are you doing? And he's always very involved because he started it from scratch in 81 from nothing. He started it from scratch. So he's very protective of it and makes sure that it's in good hands. But I think he knows it's in good hands and we're doing a good job. Yeah. So he's quite happy. And I think the fact that we're carrying on my mum and dad's legacy is really important
to
him.
And what was your mum's input to the business?
My mum did all the financials, basically. She did all the books and the wages. She did all of that. And she would, you know, work the bar and the cash register and everything like that, and keep the peace too.
And was your dad a chef? Was your dad a cook?
No, mum and dad never did anything like that, no. My dad was like front of house and my mum was back of house, I guess.
Right. Yeah. So who they just hired a chef?
Yeah, we've got like 4 or 5 chefs. And waiters and everything like that. So they just all alternate and work. So it's been kind of a good journey.
Yeah.
Sometimes tough, sometimes challenging, but it's nice to carry on the legacy and you know, it's nice to have something you can be proud of.
Yeah.
When you were growing up, was the restaurant and its team of people, and I'm assuming sort of cooks and front of house people and what have you.
Yeah.
Was that an extended family for you in some regard?
Yes, it was. It is now. It is. At the start when I sort of was learning about managing people and everything five years ago when I started the restaurant, I was very like, well, I'm the manager and you guys work for us. And that was sort of my attitude. But then
That doesn't work.
Doesn't work. No. But now I've learned, not that I've learned, it's actually just become a very natural progression that we're all a family. Mm. So we all support each other. And when someone has a breakdown and I try to sort of be compassionate and kind towards the other people. So we're like a family. So like one night, one of the the guys in the kitchen, his sister passed away, and he they rang him at the restaurant to tell him. And I just said, oh, you know, you can go home. And he's like, no, I still want to work and stuff. So he stayed the whole time, and he was obviously very upset. Yeah. But we had that moment where I could comfort him, and we share things and everything. So it does become like a big family, which is great. And I think that's a really nice way of looking at it.
Do they come to you with, you know,
issues?
I can't pay my rent or whatever.
Sometimes, sometimes, you know, someone has to go overseas for maybe a funeral or something, and you might advance them the money to get there, and then, you know, they'll give it back to you later on. So, you know, it becomes like a family. It is like a big, it's a big family. You spend so much more time, it's so much time together. I spend more time with them than I do with my friends, or I spend more time at the restaurant with all of them than I do with my friends and my family. So you learn to really love the people you work with. Love and hate relationship. You know what it's like.
And does the restaurant become your social life? Because I think
absolutely,
because you are so social and so
absolutely,
you're gregarious. I've watched you. You stand at the front of the restaurant. You know everyone that's coming past.
Yeah,
you interact with the people either side. Has it become that sort of that social outlet for you?
And I've made so many wonderful friends, like customers that come for the first time, and then, you know, they invite me to their wedding, and then they go to their children's christening, and they invite me to their homes, now they're like my friends basically. So I've met some really beautiful people, and I think that's the amazing thing, and that's probably what I will take away with you one day when I don't do it anymore. I think the fact that I've met so many amazing people and connected with, and you connect with so many great people, and I sort of love that. I mean, as a person, I like connecting with people and meeting new people. And at the same time, I like having my own time. So when I switch off at home, I like to switched off.
I mean, and that's the other thing too, because you spend so much time with people, you know, I'd imagine switching off can be a bit difficult at times. And it's almost a conscious thing. You have to put yourself into that position.
I have to balance it and have, because I'm like always with people and I'm always talking and stuff. So I need to be silent as well for my balance. So on my days off, I just go to the gym, come home, watch movies all day, and turn my phone off. I need to do that. Otherwise, I'll go mad. I'll go to the gym, I come home, and I just watch movies. Have a movie, binge sleep. Watch a movie, sleep, watch The Real Housewives, you know, watch my crime channel. So, and I, for me, I find it really, really important to switch off and recharge myself than to go back into the restaurant on the weekend for Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
I was going to say, you've got to have energy to be that person.
So I can be the host that I want to be, you know, and I guess the host that people expect me to be as well. Because sometimes they come to the restaurant, you know, for that laugh or for that fun, you know, and you want to give that to them. And sometimes you have it in you and sometimes you don't, you know, because sometimes there's other things going on in your life. So you have to.
Correct.
It can be difficult sometimes.
Fabio Catafi is, I guess, from La Spaghettata in Ligon Street, an institution now after
36 so many, years. So I know, a long time. Sometimes the mental institution.
It's rare in this industry for, I mean, with the exception of probably Francois and a couple of other venues around town, it's rare that longevity exists.
It's such a long time.
And yet, if you go down Ligon Street, there's a number of restaurants that have been there for that extraordinary amount of time. What's it like being a part of that sort of broader Ligon Street family? Because it is almost a destination space where people head to.
Yeah. It's great. I don't really know a lot about the other people because I'm always working and I just concentrate on our business. But obviously, when I'm walking down the street, I know the guys from Brunetti and hi and chat and have a little wave and all that stuff. So it's a little community. It's really nice. It's like a little bubble in a way. And it's such a great street, you know. It's a really awesome street and it has such a great vibe about it, especially in summer. You know, it's such a great street.
And when all them hoons come in their cars.
Oh, the hoons, except the hoons. I hate the hoons. I don't want the hoons to come, but I can't stop
them. They're kind of part of it too, though, whether you like it or not. Yeah.
It's such a great little street, and it's nice to be part of it.
Yeah. If you have to describe the restaurant to somebody who is sitting on the other end of the radio that's never had the La Spaghettata experience, describe the restaurant for us, because it's...
It's an old Victorian terrace house, so it's really beautifully decorated, and it's sort of very antique looking and beautifully decorated, and it's just like an old school, very high. I think everyone likes coming to the restaurant because it feels like home.
Right.
So it's a beautiful old antique, I think 1820s
building.
How many seats is it?
I think it's about 270, 300. Okay. So it's like there's a street alfresco dining. There's a courtyard, there's a balcony, there's an upstairs function room. So it's a beautiful little restaurant with, you know, great pasta, veal, chicken, seafood, great food.
Talk through the food, because I think there is a certain style that exists there, that exists in very few few places elsewhere.
So the food you want?
Yeah.
The food is, it's amazing. Well, the pasta's amazing. We always get so many compliments, not because it's our restaurant, but, you know, or people are always leaving saying, oh, the pasta was amazing and the food was amazing. So I think the pasta is our specialty, you know, with the gnocchi and the tagliatelle
Without wanting to make this sound like an ad, the gnocchi gorgonzola is just one of those dishes that has been around on that menu for probably 30 of those 36 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's stunning.
And we have a great mixed pasta platter, which is like a platter with three different pastas, so you can try those and have that combination, and some bruschetta and some tiramisu. So it's very old school Italian. And because it's family-based, I think people get that energy when they walk into the restaurant. There's my dad there, my brother, myself, my auntie, my cousin. So it's very much, I guess, feeling the love. And I think, you know, when you walk into a room or you walk into a restaurant, that you pick up on the energy. So I think people pick up on that family vibe and that warmth, and they feel like they're coming home. I think that, and I love that.
It's important.
It's really nice.
I mean, thank you for joining us. I know that you've got to run away.
I do.
Before you run away, you
put
have
my outfit on and get favorite, to work.
A favorite artist.
I do.
And a favorite song by that favorite artist. So I'll get you to introduce it before you leave. Yeah.
Miss Tina Turner.
Yeah. And what's
I'm going to take you higher.
Oh, no. Higher? No, we're going with higher. What's the other one?
Rivers Deep Mountain. No, no. Proud Mary.
No. I think more recent. Think 80s.
Oh, my God.
And a little sexy.
I'm your private dancer.
That's the one. Fabio Cattavi is at La Spagatata. If people want to know more, the website?
LaSpagatata.com.au.
Excellent. Mate, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks, guys. Christmas. You were great. Love you. Thank you.
This is for you.
Your community is our business. Joy 94.9.
It is 27 minutes to 2 here on Joy 94.9. We have seen Fabio Cattavi sashay from the studio to Tina Turner's private dancer. And if I only wish that our next guest was in here to do exactly the same thing. He is the owner of the Grosvenor Hotel and the St. Kilda Burger Bar. His name is Ravi Yani. He joins us. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Pete.
I'm disappointed you're not here to sashay out of the studio.
As am I.
Say hello to Tad, by the way. Tad's my regular co-host now.
Hello, Kaz. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Yeah. Hey, we're sort of having a bit of a conversation about family-owned business and then how that works at Christmas and who takes the day off. And you've been in this industry for, I'll say, a long time.
24 years, Pete.
With various businesses. How have you found it every year? Do you sort of look at Christmas and go, ah, ho hum, I'll celebrate it on the 28th?
Yeah, no, I long time ago locked in Boxing Day as my day to celebrate.
Well, it's probably a good day to, because of the cricket's on.
Yeah, exactly right.
You think something to entertain you apart from the cricket?
no, it is. It's a very good day, and most of the tension of, you know, the lead up and of Christmas Day has probably evaporated by then. So Christmas Day works well for me. Boxing Day works well for me. And me being at work on Christmas Day is fairly important to the team and to the guests who we serve. So I've accepted that a long time ago, and it seems to work.
So from the Point to the Grosvenor, what's different about Christmas Day between the two venues?
Obviously, the Point, we had five rooms in which we would serve Christmas Day lunch. First sitting is at 11 a.m. and 2:30 p.m. was our last booking. Grosvenor, much the same, just less numbers given the capacity.
And I'm assuming, what's on the menu for the Grosvenor for Christmas lunch?
Oh, it's a traditional menu. Everybody, the irony of it is everybody loves to see turkey on the menu. Everyone loves to see Christmas pudding with sauce anglaise on the menu. But the reality of it is I feel it. Prawn cocktails, I feel it, and pavlova always seem to win.
2 out of 3 ain't bad for me. I would eat 2 of those things. The third I would not. And what about the burger bar? Is that open for people who need a drive-through Christmas lunch?
No. The burger bar, we're actually ramping up a bit of a recovery campaign for Boxing Day and then New Year's Day. So that's a separate proposition on its own. You'll be able to order what we call the recovery pack, which is a cheeseburger with bacon, a mini Belvedere vodka, and a McClure's pre-mixed Bloody Mary. So all that delivered to your door via Deliveroo for $20. So I think that's a pretty good buy.
I only wish that I was close enough to be able to order Deliveroo. I'm going to be in a different state, and that's I think that's the perfect Christmas recovery for me. Your family, you've got young kids now, so how does your family deal with the fact that you're away on Christmas Day?
My son is now 4.5, so okay. He is alert enough to complain.
Yes.
Not sure whether his mum puts him up to it, but I have it's a year-by-year effort. I'll deal with it a year at a time and explain to him how important it is, again, to the team and to the guests that come in to the Grosvenor on Christmas Day. And trust us to deliver on their, on their occasion.
Do you get to do something in the morning before you go to work or on Christmas Eve?
Definitely, yeah. Little kids, sleep's not an option, particularly Christmas Day morning. So regardless of what time I've arrived at night before, it's up cracker sparrows and wrapping paper everywhere and treats everywhere and everything.
Santa Claus has been.
Oh, yeah. Santa Claus came, I think it was the elves this morning, according to my son, and took the list from Santa's stocking, the little pouch that the Christmas list he'd made. He said, I think the elves came, Dad, overnight and picked it up. I said, oh, okay.
And has he told Santa what does he want? What does a 4.5-year-old want from Santa Claus this year?
You know, out of the six things he's got on there, one of them that surprised me was a donut maker.
Ooh. Really?
Yes, I was very surprised by that. And
have you got a little foodie on your hands, Robbie?
Yeah.
I think so.
Excellent. Well, mate, I won't keep you too long because you're at work. But I just tidings of the season from us. I'm hoping you get to enjoy at least the work on Christmas Day with a room full of people who are all there to have a good time, you'd assume, wouldn't you?
You would assume that, but there is the odd table that you see and you notice that the son-in-law sitting with the mother-in-law and the chemistry there isn't exactly electric, so you've got to be careful and tread around that that table with great care. But on the whole, everyone is there to have a good time, and our role is to ensure that we deliver on that, and it's a great day. The team are usually quite pumped. They're getting well remunerated for their effort, and it's sort of like, well, we've had the season now. It's been a great 3 or 4 weeks. We've earned this, and it's very, very satisfying.
And have you got any space left, any bookings left? Do people need somewhere to go?
No.
Oh, you're booked.
Look, there's always, wow. And yeah, we are. We've been booked for quite some time, and it's just... Yeah, a year. It's been a great year at the Grosvenor Hotel, and the build-up's been tremendous to Christmas and most of our main events. So, we are full, and we will open our doors at about 10:30. First sitting's at 11 a.m. and last reservation's at 2:30. So we're hoping to all be home by about 6 o'clock that evening with our families.
Well, I shall toast you with a glass of champagne from my position up north, mate, and we'll catch up in the new year. Thanks for your support.
Look forward to it. Thank you, Pete.
Good
Take
on you,
care,
Robbie.
And
cheers.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
He's a good man, Robbie, I tell you. And, yes, it's a shame there's no bookings. Would have been nice to...
Good from their point of view.
Well, it is. Now, you're going home for Christmas as well, Ted.
I am, yeah. Looking forward to that.
And Richard will be with you. And
yes.
Is it his first white Christmas?
I think so. I mean, he's been in London over Christmas time before, but not this Arctic cold that we'll be flying into. I think it's about -4 degrees at home at the moment in the northern New Jersey. And so we'll be experiencing that. We've had to go and get some proper winter coats and gloves and things like that. So it should be good, but I'm looking forward to it. It'll be nice.
Yes, and you get to be with your family for Christmas,
which is a good thing. Yeah, the first time in 20 years I'll be with my family for Christmas, which would be nice.
So that long?
It has been, yeah.
I'm going to come back and talk about this in a minute, because I wonder if there is a sense after all of that time of Christmas being really different or loneliness. And I want to talk a little bit about that sort of stuff. And something else that I'm involved with as well that I want to talk about, which is... going to support some people. So for you, Ted, and for Richard, and for all of those who might be heading to somewhere a little cooler for Christmas. This is for you. It's a bit old. It's from the Rockettes, but cool. We can't not play it. It's 20 minutes to 2. You're on Cravings here on Joy 94.9.
G'day, I'm Pete Evans, and you are with Pete Dillon on Cravings on Joy 94.9.
Yes, indeed you are, with Tad Lombardo as well. 14 minutes to 2 we are. This is our last show together for the year.
This is. I can't believe it's gone quick.
I have no idea what's happening next week. We'll cobble something together, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh,
it always comes together in the end.
Yes, or it could be a replayed program from earlier in the year.
Nothing wrong with that.
Because it will be Christmas Eve, yeah. And nobody wants to have to think too hard. Can you believe it's only a week from Christmas?
No, but at the same time, yes, because I just want to go on a plane and
yes, because you're ready.
I'm ready.
You're going on Friday.
Friday, yep. Mm. So,
so when you arrive, is it still Friday?
Still Friday, yeah. Okay, so leave on the 23rd and get there on the 23rd. Yeah,
well, that's helpful.
Yeah.
Just before we came to this break, we're sort of talking about Christmas being a thing where... So you haven't been back for 20 years.
That's
so you
right.
haven't had a white Christmas for 20
right.
years. Hence why we had to play the Rockettes singing
you.
White Christmas. Is it a hard adjustment after sort of so much time away to go back and sort of fall into your space in the family?
Well, I'll let you know after we get back. But the way I feel now is no, it wouldn't be, because I mean we've gone back regularly, and
yep.
You know, we're still very close with everybody, and we all have a connection. And you know, when I moved here 20 years ago, you know, all the nieces and nephews weren't on board. They
yep,
are now.
Yep, yep.
But I'm actually really looking forward to having Christmas with all the nieces and nephews, mm. And just hanging out and being loud and obnoxious like we always usually are, and having fun.
And are you looking forward to a cold Christmas?
I actually am this year, mm. and that's not the norm, because this is the first time we'll have gone back in the winter,
yeah.
By choice. Previously, yes. It was always summertime.
Yep.
The temperature at the moment in my little town of New Providence is like -4 degrees Celsius, which is like Arctic cold.
Yes.
But I am looking forward to it.
And they're actually saying that the Northeast is heading for, I think, is it yesterday or today?
Yeah.
It was going to be a couple of the coldest days of...
On record.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A friend of mine is the ABC correspondent or bureau chief in Washington, and
right.
I think her husband has landed on Australian soil today, and she's a bit jealous because it's freezing.
Yeah. Mm. So, I think it'll be... There is something special about a Northern Hemisphere Christmas and it being cold. But there's also something very special about being a Southern Hemisphere Christmas and being warm as well.
What's the weirdest Christmas you've ever had? Was it the first Christmas here where it was hot?
Yeah, that probably was. That was the first Christmas away from family.
Yeah.
And that's sort of where, kind of when it sort of sunk in that, you know, I wasn't in Kansas anymore, if you know what I mean.
Yes. Certainly do. I had a similar experience in Japan.
Yes. Yep.
Where I was caught in a blizzard in my the space where I was working up in sort of central west of Japan.
Yep.
So not even in Tokyo, where there was some Christmas.
Yes.
I was in rural Japan almost. In a ski resort.
No man's land.
Well, yeah, and Japan celebrates quite differently. So,
yeah.
Again, in Tokyo it would have been okay because there would have been somewhere where I could have slotted in and had a semi-traditional
yeah.
Christmas. But there I was with a fish head curry and rice, having to call all of my family, you know, on the other... They were all here in Australia, and
yeah.
Being from such a big family,
yep.
It was really taxing, and it was sort of upsetting. And I'm like, I'm in a blizzard, and I'm eating a fish head curry and rice for my lunch. And
but that's what it is. I think the food has a big impact on
absolutely.
On what you're having as well. And there's certain traditional things. And, you know, like one of the things in my family is from my mom's side of the family, where it's this potato dish, and it's absolutely beautiful. And she's the one responsible for bringing that on Christmas Day.
Tell me about the potato dish. You know I love potatoes.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's just a very simple dish. It's a mixture of potatoes and mustard and spring onions, and it's beautiful.
Jeez.
And you bake it. It's twice baked, basically. So it's absolutely beautiful. It was my grandmother's recipe on my mother's side, and I make it here all the time I can. So
Linda, when you're listening to the podcast, I need to see a copy of this recipe.
I'll get you one,
because we Dillons are mad for potatoes.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Irish.
Yeah, and it works really well.
Yes. So I'm having a very hot Christmas this year.
Yes,
well.
You are.
A poolside Christmas in...
It'll be good.
Vegas.
Yeah, and you leave on Wednesday, don't you?
Yeah, I do. My sister's been emailing me. She's like, so we're going to have some ham and some pork and some chicken and some this and... This massive list of food. And I remember being at her house a number of years ago for Christmas and having to drive around the northern suburbs of Brisbane trying to find duck fat.
Oh, right.
For potatoes. So
yep.
I went for miles and miles and... Had no luck, and eventually just sort of came back, and around the corner from her house is a butcher.
Yeah.
And we had to call into the butcher to pick up a particular piece of meat, and they're sitting on the counter with duck fat, and I'm just like,
perfect.
You are kidding me. I've driven all over Brisbane.
Trying to
find
it.
Found the duck fat for the potatoes.
Oh, if they had essential ingredient up there, it would have been easy.
Right. So Christmas looms ever closer. So yes. Next Saturday we won't have a program. Well, we will have a program, but it'll be...
A repeat.
Perhaps
possibly.
Bits and pieces of something we can cobble together. And then on New Year's Eve, there won't be a Cravings program. Again, it will probably be a bit of a best of. We'll find a couple of interviews that we really enjoy during the year. And
We can recharge. And
yeah, because we need to. So yeah. And then I will be back for the 7th of January, where we might look at some of our New Year's resolutions around food.
And I'm back on the 15th, so it'll be after that. And
excellent. Yep. Have you got any predictions of things that we're sort of seeing in the food business? Any predictions of what might come for next year, do you think?
You know, it's interesting. I haven't had a big think about it. Obviously, things do come. I have a feeling that little tarts will be back in favor.
Can we please get rid of the frickin' donut?
Please, especially if it's got a, you know... things all over it. Sometimes it's a bit much, you know, or not just the donut.
We may have seen those this week.
Oh no, but those are cool. But I mean, I like the milkshake with the donut on top. That's what I'd like to get rid of.
Donut's
cool. I like a donut.
I'm not a donut person.
No, okay.
No,
but it just doesn't need to be on the top of a milkshake. That's not clever.
No, I did see some. We saw some at the function where there were syringes full of jam or stuff, and you just squirt that in the donut and eat it. And these, so that young man has launched his own donut shop. He's like 15 or 16 years old.
He was on the Today Show. I first saw him, I think.
He's launched his donut shop this week.
Right. Oh, that's cool.
And he's an entrepreneur. He's just got crazy ideas with donuts. So that's Morgan. So he's a smart kid.
Yeah, that's exciting.
So, I want to see the donut gone. I don't want to see
What's
any
Morgan going to do?
I don't know. I don't want to see any more freaking quinoa, for crying out loud. Can that thing be over already?
Done. Yeah, I think it's... I'm tired of hearing the word superfood myself.
Yeah.
I really am. It just bores me.
It's rubbish.
Yeah.
The other thing that I will be happy when it's gone is if chefs have any note, stop opening frickin' burger stores. How many burger stores do we need?
Yeah, we've got more than enough at the moment.
Way too many.
A burger, but, you know.
We don't need Neil Perry's burger store. Not when we've got people like Robbie doing stuff at the Central Burger Bar that is amazing.
Yeah.
Enough with the burgers already. Yeah. Somebody in my office the other day ordered a kale burger. And I took the patty out of there and smacked them around the head with it. Because, you know, kale burger. Are you kidding me?
It's a crime against humanity.
It is a crime against something.
How was it?
They didn't enjoy it. There was two of them ordered kale burgers. Meanwhile, I've got this big, you know, buttermilk chicken burger, which is dripping with cheese and ale. Yeah. It was awesome.
Yep.
Nope, kale burgers. So anything, I think kale can go back from whence it came. So they're the things that I'm happy to be gone. Kale, quinoa, and anything from the cabbage family, really. Get rid of it. It's food for the pigs. things that I want to see, we're seeing a lot of moves in Peruvian food.
Yes.
If we're going to do real Peruvian, let's start eating the guinea pigs.
Yep.
Because that's a Peruvian classic.
Can I do that here? I don't know if they'd be allowed.
I don't know.
Yeah.
What I am organising in the next little while is a chat with Wiley Defresny, who's coming as part of the World's Top 50 and the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival Masterclass program. So once we get into January, we'll talk to Wiley Defresny, and we're also going to talk to Carlo Cracco.
That'll be great. There'll be a lot of things happening with the Top 50 coming here.
There will be. I want to talk to Grant Arkatz from Alania as well, but I don't think we're going to get a chance to do that before the festival. But we were getting into the new year. That's when all of the celebs start coming out of the water.
That's right.
There's also going to be that little TV show called MasterChef. So we're going to get lots of people to talk to from MasterChef as well. I hear some rumors about some of the people that are coming. I'm kind of sworn to secrecy, but talking desserts, there's a couple of very cool people coming. So they're things for us to look forward to next year as well. More Korean food, please.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I love Korean food. Korean barbecue is the best.
Exactly. Yeah. And more barbecue.
Yeah.
All of this hot sauce and mac cheese and brisket and smoking and charcoal and shit. I want all of that next year.
Yep, definitely. That's the real good stuff.
Because that'll make us feel good.
Yeah, and food should make you feel good. That's what it's about.
Also should recommend the Pure South Dining has reopened yesterday,
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You were there, weren't you?
Yes. Yeah. Go down and look at it. It is absolutely stunning. So we'll catch up with those guys in the new year as well. We probably should pay our last lot of messages, and then we'll come back. There's a project that I'm launching tomorrow with another food broadcaster on community radio that we need to talk about. So we have a very few minutes to go. We shall return to Shinny out here with our own private dancer.
I've missed my favourite show on Joy. What do I do? What do I do?
Podcasters to battle!
Joy podcasters fight on tirelessly to bring you the best bits of every show. So if you've missed something recently on Joy, don't worry. Our podcasters have your back. Head to joy.org.au and click on the podcast tab or look us up on iTunes. Podcasters on Joy 94.9 fighting tirelessly for your listening pleasure.
We are on the home stretch, 2 minutes remaining, and we're going to see if we can fit this all in. Russ and Andre joining you on the Escape Pod, talking travel insurance. Where many of you going away over the Christmas period, travel insurance is very important. They need to ask about travel insurance that is already covered within your credit card. Russ and Andre, if you're listening, sitting there waving their arms about the pair of them. Now, Tad, on tomorrow,
yes,
at midday on Triple R, which is our opposition, community radio program, a community broadcaster and myself have launched a campaign to help the victims of the Little Saigon market fire, which happened on Wednesday morning. Tuesday morning.
Devastating fire.
There's traders who are not going to have a Christmas, and as we lead into New Year as well, and particularly the Lunar New Year, they're not going to have an income. So we have launched a possible campaign. I will tweet it out from the Cravings Twitter, CravingsJoy949, and we'll sort of retweet it all over
definitely.
The place.
It's a really important program.
It's a possible campaign. We want to raise $250,000. Yeah. We want to support those traders who are without income all the way through into Chinese New Year. This is the busiest sort of 6 weeks of their year.
Makes or breaks their financial
year. It does. And without an income, they're not going to celebrate Christmas.
No.
To all of you who have joined Tad and I this year, we wish you a Merry Christmas.
Very much so. Thanks for listening.
We are looking forward to coming back in the new year and joining you. We're not going to have a chance to play our last song either, which is a bit of a shame. We'll have to play it another time. Yeah, so it's going to be Save the Last Dance from me, from Ike and Tina Turner. But we will hand you across to the lovely boys from the Escape Pod. They will take care of your travel and your travel insurance. Make sure you use the travel insurance that's already built into your credit card. It's a question for your guests. So, Ted, thank you for your company this
year. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
We'll be back in 2017. Have a safe and happy season.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.